Well, I see tonight gathered here a group of people been a part of this church for varying lengths of time. Nathan and Sarah, who are going to speak to us tonight, grew up here. So I think everybody's aware of who they are. They're currently ministering in Uganda. Nathan's a part of MAF. And they're doing what Tyler would call trellis work. And the trellis is that which supports the vine. But the trellis has to be maintained in order to facilitate the growth of the vine. That's the work they're involved in. And I'll ask them to come up now and tell us what's going on there in Uganda.
All right, evening, guys. How are y'all tonight? This should be, or I hope it will be, fairly informal. We're not going to, it's going to be mostly unscripted. I got some notes to remind me what I want to say, but we came from Uganda this time mostly for R&R, and so we didn't have a presentation prepared, so we put some pictures together for you, and hopefully we can give you a good update as to what our what's going on over in Uganda. Sarah's going to start by telling you a little bit about her home life, what the kids are up to. Then I'll take over from there. I will give an update on the situation in Uganda and Congo. And there's something else in there. Maintenance, the ministries. Like I said, hopefully it's as informal as it can be. If you have a question,
just ask.
Stick your hand up if you really feel like you're...
Not interrupt.
Yep. Okay. This is for the benefit of you guys. This is so that you guys can get a idea of what's going on, and so you're not left in the dark. So if you have a question, even if I'm going to answer it later, I'll answer it when you ask. It's not a problem. Just blurt it out. So we will start with Sarah. She's going to talk about the girls.
First of all, I want to say thank you to you guys. So being the mission project for April, you guys blessed us more than we ever could imagine. So thank you, and pass that on to anybody who's not here that you think contributed to that. Thank you for allowing us to be your project. And, you know, it might sound like, oh, we're just a project, but no, we really, really are grateful for just your support of us, both financially and continually with your prayers. So I just want to say that to begin with, because none of this would be possible of what we are doing, where we live, and the ministry, if we didn't have people like you behind us. So thank you. Start with some pictures of the girls. So this past year with COVID, as you know here, everything was different. We started school mid-April online. So that was a bit of a challenge. The older girls, they handled it quite well. Lauren was in grade 5 this past year. Had to be on top for a little bit more, but that was okay. And then mid-October, we went to school in person. It was great. She had a great teacher this year, Lauren did. But it did mean that things looked different. So this is what the science fair looked like. So they could do a project at home, and they did a poster, and then they put them on these boards in the courtyard, and then the teacher organizing it took a picture of each of them, and we shared that on the newsletter kind of thing. So this was Lauren. She did the bouncing egg, where you put an egg in vinegar, and it dissolves the shell. She tested it out with Coke and water and orange juice. So that was her thing. But she did really well in grade 5, had a great teacher from England this year, and just did really well. So she's going into grade 6 next year. Our school does a production every spring. That looked different also. You can go to the next one. All 3 girls were in it, and you can see the masks. So it was a smaller cast. They didn't do a musical because it takes many people. And then for the production of it, only family were there to watch it. And they just did one night, and they did it online for the rest of the school to watch. But still really grateful that our school was creative in ways that they could still do things, even with all the restrictions that were in place. So, yeah, that's been good. Sports didn't happen this year. There were no organized, you go to the next one, no organized sports. Like normally there's soccer and basketball. Those things weren't happening. But a couple of the Christian schools said, hey, you know what? Volleyball. We can do that. We'll have a small tournament on a Saturday. It's outdoors, lots of space. So if you're playing, you didn't have to wear your mask, and then just something to get the people together again. So it was really great. We did that one in, I think that one was in March, and then our school hosted one later in April. So yeah, just some ways. They opened it up to parents and teachers, so Nathan, Jasmine, and then another MAF pilot there were on a team of three. So they did quite well, I think, if I remember correctly. But yeah, just different ways that we're really grateful that they were able to do some things, even in the midst of COVID, where so many things weren't happening. So, yeah. Next. So Nathan took the idea of the Awana Grand Prix that we have done here for years. And during COVID, when we were, during the summer, so like from March to October, not much was happening, didn't go where many places, lots of things were shut. He built a racetrack. So he built the track, he programmed all of the timing and all that kind of stuff, put a lot of work into it. And we ordered the wheels, so we can get wood in Uganda, but you can't get the plastic wheels. And so we ordered those in, they came in a part shipment, and the MAF team, we opened up to them, and they made cars. And it was a great success. Both the national staff and the international staff came together with cars, and we did it at the hangar on a Saturday afternoon, or Saturday morning, I guess. And it was great. Everyone talks about it, great team building thing, and hopefully we'll get to do it next year. We'll see. But yeah, so we had a little Grand Prix. And yeah, that was probably the first thing that we did again after COVID and doing nothing. So that was in February. So this is me at church. So with COVID, things have looked different for me this past year. Normally, things like Bible studies and my tutoring, which I still do, which I'll get to in a minute. But church, we went back to in-person church. So in Uganda, churches were closed completely. You can't really do percentage things there because there's no fire code on how many people you can have in the building to start with. So churches were closed until mid-October. So we went back to in-person in November with all the SOPs, just like you are tonight. No Sunday school was allowed, though, and it still isn't allowed. So we switched. So I'm the children's ministry coordinator at our church. So we switched from doing Sunday school things and thought, what can we do for the kids? So we added a children's story. So very, very Baptist putting it in there. So myself and a few others each Sunday do a few minutes of a children's story while they're taking up the offering. So that's been good. And yeah, our church has continued to sustain itself and be active, doing what they can. We're currently looking for a lead pastor as well. Our lead pastor was from England, and he has resigned just for family things. He needs to be back in England with his family. So we have an associate pastor from Kenya, and currently looking for a lead pastor. So if you know anybody who wants to move to Uganda as a pastor, send them our way. So I have been able to do the tutoring. This is at the primary school. It's called Doris Primary School, and it's right on the edge of the slum. And last year I was there doing it in a small group setting. So we had like the 4 or 5-year-olds, 6-year-olds, a range of ages, but really beginning learning, like letter sounds, short words, right at the beginning. They just haven't been in school. They're not exposed to English all the time, and so they needed the extra help. So the staff would, you know, pull out the kids that needed extra help, and I would help. We couldn't do group settings this year. They started by only bringing back 3 of the older classes, kind of like grade 4, 5, and 6 of what we would call here. And I began doing tutoring one-on-one. So I'd go for a couple hours at a time, and this is my little room, and I'd sit on the bench there with one-on-one. And it was really neat to be able to get to know them more. So in a group setting, you hear their little stories and they're being silly, but when you're one-on-one, you can, you know, talk to them more, find out about their family situations. And the little readers that I have, sometimes it's talking about a big brother, and then you're asking about their family and just finding out, you know, one was the 10th, like he's the 10th of his children, like in his family, and just, you know, what does that look like for you, and just different stuff. So it's been neat to be able to get to know them a little better when you're doing it one-on-one, but still grateful that I'm able to continue that and be there. Just before we left, they were supposed to be opening it up to the grades 1, 2, and 3, but then things locked down again because numbers are rising again. So everything is locked down in Uganda right now. So they're not currently at school. But hopefully by the time we get back, things will start opening again. So, yeah, it's my little bit of don't know. It's fun. I love, if I was to go into profession, it would have been a teacher. I didn't. But it's amazing how God sees what your gifts are, you know, knows what your gifts are, and then gives you opportunities to use that. So that's what this has been at the primary school, and then also at church with the children's ministry, just being able to do Sunday school and coordinate that. And yeah, it's been. So at this school, English is the primary language in Uganda that they, official language, that's the word. English is the official language in Uganda, but not everybody can speak it. But if you can, it gives you a step up to getting jobs. So everybody wants to learn English. So the school, you would consider like an English immersion school. So it's just English. And so if they've come, so their parents might not speak English, reading is even lower. So speaking is one thing, reading it is another. So to give them those skills really gives them a step up. So as the kids have come, and if they're falling behind, then they come to me and we do extra work. So both reading and spelling. Sometimes the kids need spelling help, which, you know, if you're learning English, spelling is really hard. Yes. So there was another lady and myself that were doing it last year. She went home on furlough, and then they've decided not to return. So currently it is just me. But, yeah. Okay.
Any more questions for?
Yeah, any more questions? I guess one of the other things that I am able to do right now, so normally I'd be part of like group Bible studies, ladies Bible studies, but God's just brought some single girls or just some different girls that are also there for missionaries or from church or whatever, and just being able to encourage them, get together one-on-one and do a Bible study. So there's still things that have been happening, even though it's been COVID and things have all changed, but still keeping busy with different things. Yeah, Carol. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I guess we didn't have individual pictures of all of them. Right. Okay. So, yes, Lauren finished grade 5 and is going into grade 6. Aaliyah is going into grade 9 in September or August, I guess we start. So, grade 9. And Jasmine is in grade 12. So, she is finishing high school this year and then she'll come back to Canada. She's looking at becoming an occupational therapist. So, that means 4 years of university and then 2 years of occupational therapy college. So, right now, she's looking at kinesiology as her university degree at either Western or Waterloo or McMaster. So those kind of decisions she'll have to make. I think November you start applying. I don't know, I forget how it all works. But and then she'll be back here in the summer and be going off to university. So I know, it goes so fast. Yeah. It took a bit of adjustment to have Hannah out of the house for the girls, just to have her not around and that kind of thing. But she's doing well. She's still at Fanshawe. Her architecture technology program is a continuing one because it has co-op in it, so she's actually still at school in this summer term. So she has this term and then the September term, and then she has her co-op in January to August next year, and then more in class. So hers has been a combination of online and in class. So she lives in London. We rent a room from a lady there, and she's there most of the time. And we're just so grateful for both of our parents who are able to help her out. And then Nathan's brother, Matt, lives in London. So his family pick her up on Friday nights and she's there for dinner and games. And it's just that family connection for her. So it does my heart well to know that she's well looked after. Right?
Yeah, sure. Sounds good. Thank you. So I'm going to try and answer all the questions that I get asked over and over again here. There's been a couple of themes. One that's always asked when people talk to me is, when are you going back? So we're planning on getting back to, well, it's a two-stage story. Our tickets are booked for the 3rd of August, so just a week or so away, 2 weeks away. But as most of you know, we had a chaotic time in quarantine. Lost a full month of our furlough isolating. So MAF approached us and asked if we wanted to extend. We said, absolutely, we'd love to. Uganda, it's interesting. Uganda coasted through the first year of COVID. We didn't see many cases, very few. I didn't know anyone personally who had had it. And so we kind of coasted through. And while the rest of the world was kind of dealing with their chaos as well. And then this latest wave, I'm assuming it has something to do with the Delta variant. I don't watch it too closely, but I know that Uganda is in the thick of it right now. They're locked down pretty hard. Again, no vehicles on the road. You can't leave your district within the city. Only essential travel. So they're locked down pretty hard again. So that, as I think Sarah mentioned, there will be no school, in-class school in August for the girls to return to. It's all going to be online anyways, so why not take the extra month? And we're just going to be going back to chaos anyways. So we're going to take an extra month. We'll be leaving at the beginning of September now. So that's a question that's often asked, and now you won't have to ask me about it. So I'll start with some of the stuff that MAF is doing. It's been a crazy year. As everybody knows, MAF Congo has had a couple waves of crazy. There's another picture from Sarah's thing. So I just have a couple of verses that to remind us and encourage us of our place in this world. Oh, you can barely read that. Sorry, guys. The first one's from Isaiah 45:7. I believe that is where God is talking about Cyrus as his chosen instrument. And it's speaking a lot on his sovereignty and his power. He says, I form the light and create darkness. I make well-being and I create calamity. I am the Lord who does all these things. In Lamentations, we also see a lot of words on God's sovereignty. I picked this one up tonight. Lamentations 3, 37 to 39. Who has spoken and it has come to pass, unless the Lord has commanded it? Is it not from the mouth of the Most High that good and bad come? Why should a living man complain? In Romans 8, 28, we all know this verse. Maybe not if you saw the reference, like me, but you'll know it to hear it. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. Yeah, it's hard for me to see without my glasses. It's been a crazy year for all of us. You read the news and it's nothing but fear, it's nothing but chaos. God talked of this thousands of years ago. It shouldn't come as a surprise to us. We all have our different reactions to it. That's fine, I respect that. But none of us, being Christians, should live in fear. We should all be content knowing that God is in control, full control, absolute control. I don't want to preach. I'll be like the first one to admit that I fail at this. Something comes up, you're afraid. Something unexpected comes up, and you drift away from trusting God rather than closer. Now, hopefully we all return to God, but his word reminds us that he's in control and there's no reason to be afraid in these crazy times. In Congo, let's see if I can remember where I start. I start with, so in the Congo program, it has been an especially difficult time this past year. We have had three main events that have really challenged our program. The first, well, it's not the first that happened, but the first one I'll talk about is the volcano in Goma. So we have I'll remind you that we do our maintenance for our Congo planes in Uganda, where I'm based. The planes fly around and minister to the Congolese, and then they'll fly back over to Uganda for maintenance. Now that means that you need a port of entry. You need a port of entry, you need a port of exit. We used to come through a town called Bunia, which was just a 5-minute flight from our base in Nyankunde. And then they would head straight over, a 1-hour flight to Kampala, where I'm staying, where we do the maintenance. Now, after the Congolese elections, that was closed down. That stinks. Okay, we'll fly down to Goma. Goma's about an hour and a half flight. So we've got an hour and a half flight down, hour and a half flight back, and then we can do our maintenance. So that's 3 hours added to the maintenance now. Well, when this volcano erupted, now they closed that airport. Now, I don't know if you followed the Goma volcano very closely. It wasn't as devastating as some past eruptions, so we're thankful for that. But it still causes mayhem, and people were displaced. A few people were killed. But it impacts MAF most by the closure of the runway. So now we have to fly to the interior of Congo for 2 hours, and it takes 3 hours to fly back to Kampala. So we are... Each time they change a runway, it's getting longer and longer. So that's a little bit of chaos we've had to deal with, dealing with the officials and getting that straightened out. At the moment, We're waiting for Goma to reopen. It's not reopened yet. And they are fighting to get that Bunia airstrip reopened. Whether that happens, I don't know. We'll see. But that's a fight. In other news, the town of Niankundi that our MAF base is located in Congo, so all the pilots live in Niankundi. Our airstrip is in Niankundi. It's a small town. I think I heard around a couple thousand people. Can't remember. But anyways, militia stormed into town and took over the town. What was that, 3 months? No, how many months ago was that now? April. So they always, the MAF guys always have their ears to the ground. The pilots and those in charge always have their ear to the ground. You know, what's going on? Is it getting chaotic? And this one kind of surprised them. All of a sudden, they wake up one morning and you can hear shooting on the top of the hill and grenades going off. And so the militia moved in, the police fought back, and then they abducted some from the hospital. It just got way too hot, way too risky. So they, again, have evacuated Niankundi. They evacuated Niankundi in 2019 over Christmas, over December. And I always talk about, every time I'm back, I talk about how it's still unstable in Congo. And they have learned that it's even still quite unstable in the area surrounding the MAF base. So the MAF team has evacuated again. Most of the pilot families have moved to Bunia, where that first airstrip was that I talked about. That's where the... So they fly out of there, and they've kept flying. They still fly into Congo, ministering there. But they're in temporary housing. The planes are temporarily parked on that runway. So it's not a great situation, but it's... Everyone was safe during the evacuation. No one got hurt. A couple of the MAF national guys, the Congolese, opted to stay behind. The entire village fled. Those who didn't have a car fled into the bush. Those with a car went to the nearest villages. Those with an airplane went to Bunia. And the plane, I understand, was just chock full of people. All the MAF staff, the families. There was some doctors, I think, they evacuated. It was a hectic morning for them, from what I hear. And then a couple of the pilots also drove out in some Land Cruisers, filled them with people. And they have now all gone to Bunia. It's still not fun in Niankundi. A lot of the people are still out. Some of the people ended up going to the IDP camps, the internally displaced people's camps, that I think I have a picture of it here. No, that's the hospital. That's a picture of the hospital in Niankundi that they abducted someone from. So that's one of the IDP camps. Very crowded, very crammed. It's not a refugee camp. It's not people from outside the country. It is internal people. It is Congolese that have been pushed out of their villages. It's not the Taliban. It's one of those Islamist groups. It might be Boko Haram. Has been active in the north of the country. They've kind of been pushed out from the north, out of the Middle East, and they kind of filtered down. They're finding some haven in Congo, and they're causing havoc there. So all these camps are internal Congolese people. That's pretty insane to think about. Some of the people from Niankundi have ended up here, although they're probably slowly being able to go back home at this point. That was two of the crazy things in... Yeah, I guess the other one is COVID, but we'll get to COVID a little later on. So MAF, within this IDP, in camp, IDC, they do run some ministries. We've talked about this in some of our newsletters, our prayer letters. This is a sewing group, a class for some of the ladies in those camps to learn a skill set so they have something to work with. First, personally, they can repair their own clothes, but they can also make some money with this. So a class will come in, they'll teach them, they'll graduate, and a new group of ladies will come back in. There's no shortage of ladies there trying to learn this trade, which is good. It's a great ministry. MAF, during this chaos, hasn't really skipped a beat. They have kept flying. There's the ministries that need them, still need them. So they've moved to Bunia. but they fly out every day. They come back to Bunia. This is a cargo shipment on one of our caravans. The caravan, it can hold, it's a 13-seater. We take all those seats out and it can hold 1 ton of cargo. So they fly cargo all over the place. This was en route to a hospital. Motorcycles are great out in the bush. Easy transportation to get around. I'm not entirely sure where these were going. I thought it was a cool picture. With Ebola, with COVID, there's a lot of death in Congo. Oh, that was the video going. That's fine. It's all right. It's just guys loading a coffin in the plane. That is another service that MAF can provide, another ministry that they can get loved ones back to home villages to be buried that would otherwise take, it depends where they are, could take weeks or months to get them back. So that's a cool ministry that they can perform. We just retired our oldest caravan. It was the second oldest in the world, from what I understand. Definitely the oldest in our fleet. It was getting tired, so it went back to the States. It'll be used as a training aircraft now. We have two more aircraft on order. One is sitting in Congo, waiting to be released. It's been sitting there since October, probably. They're not quite sure what the holdup is. Some people are wondering if it's just the envelope's not thick enough, if you get my meaning. But it's been sitting there for quite some time. We're waiting on it. It'll be a great, great asset when it shows up. But MAF won't pay the bribe if that's what they're asking. And so there it will sit until cooler heads prevail. Or, yeah, God will work it out eventually. We'll see how he does. Oh, that was just the video, yeah. Fuel, we load some fuel. Take that around the country. It's one of our pilots, that's Dave Peterson. You'd like him. And that's how we load fuel into the airplane. And I thought this was humorous. I had never seen them unload it when it finally gets to Niankuni. This next video, I thought it was kind of humorous. Ah, I didn't put it in. Oh, shoot. Sorry. They got a front-end loader that drives up to the airplane, and they roll the drum onto the front-end loader, and he drives away. I thought it was humorous. What you have to do to make things work. So the planes have been flying. They had slowed down a little bit during the COVID crisis, but they're still flying, so I still fix them. This is the caravan that we're not leaving behind. Me and the pilot doing a little bit of work on the propeller. Oh, there's Lauren learning to turn wrenches. This little 206, this is the popular plane if you have passengers. It's the cheapest one if you need to charter it somewhere. It's a very popular plane, and its engine is due for replacement. We get about 2,000 hours of flying out of an engine, and then you have to overhaul it. Well, because of the jungles that we fly over and the risk that entails, we do not overhaul. We just buy a new engine. So at this very moment over in Uganda, they are just putting the finishing touches on replacing that engine. I was hoping to be a part of that, but I'm going to guess COVID again delayed the engine delivery, and so my cohort over there is doing that at the moment.
What do they do with the old engine?
It'll go back to Continental as a core. Continental will rebuild it and resell it as an overhauled engine. Yeah, so someone else will get that engine, but we want the reliability of a new one over the jungles. Nope, there's Dave working on the engine. That's our only... MAF Congo has a single Ugandan helping us in the hangar. There are lots of Congolese over in Niankuni, but there's only three of us in the hangar, and he's our Ugandan help. His name's Dave. He's been with MAF for about 20 years. He started by digging it was more than a trench. It was in the lake. They had a float plane at the time, and they had to dig a canal, that's the word we're looking for, a canal, to get the planes to the hangar. And so that's when he started with 20 years ago, and he is now, we teach him what we can on the aircraft. He doesn't have his full secondary, so We have to start with scratch with some of the concepts, but he's eager to learn, and he's a good worker. He's got two kids. He mostly farms. Yeah, David Lule. Is that it? That was it. I didn't miss anything. I have no idea. Do you have any questions that will jog my memory? Okay. Yeah. All right. So the question is, how does MAF deal with COVID in an operational, in a day-to-day basis? So MAF took on, everything was shut down in the first COVID wave. The president didn't take any chances. He shut her down. And MAF was no longer allowed to fly. They were no longer allowed into the hangar in Uganda. Yes, this was in Uganda. This is where we live and where we do our maintenance. And as the government slowly started to figure out, okay, how the rest of the world deals with this, how we should deal with this, they started to open up, and it looked a lot like the rest of the world. Temperature. Everyone gets your temperature checked. So MAF, okay, well, we'll buy a bunch of temperature guns. And so everyone had a temperature gun, and every passenger was checked. This was before the vaccinations, so there was nothing like that to check on. I can't remember if it was MAF. MAF, I think. I think our team in Uganda developed a, not plexiglass, a clear plastic, like a flexible plastic shield to separate the passengers from the pilots. So at least then, if there was COVID on the plane, it was kept to the back and wasn't, or if it was at the front, it was kept at the front, whichever the case was. So that's how MAF initially dealt with COVID. It has evolved as the Ministry of Health in Uganda has said, okay, now we're going to do this, now we're going to do this. It still looks, I don't think they fly with the shields anymore. They might again now. Now that we're locked, yeah, I haven't been there since this new lockdown, so it's very possible that they're, because this time they're deemed an essential service, and so they haven't had to close the hangar or the operations. So they are still flying in Uganda. Yeah, it's hard to speak with MAF when it's two different things. MAF Congo never got locked down. They were always flying. They slowed down a bit because a lot of missionaries no longer needed to get around. But MAF Uganda was locked down pretty tight. So Mike and I would go to work when a plane was ready and we'd fix it and we'd send it off. But MAF Uganda wasn't allowed to fly their planes. So they... Now, that's an interesting question. I'm going to start by saying I don't know all of the requests that MAF Uganda gets. I am MAF Congo. I know that the biggest rollout, the vaccines come in usually donated from another country. And so they're not getting a huge stock. They're not getting enough to vaccinate the whole country at once. So the amount that has come in hasn't even been enough just to deal with Kampala yet, the capital city. So right now, their priority is local. So there's no real opportunity yet for vaccines. Whether or not we're asked when it does start rolling out more seriously into that I can't say for sure. The roads in Uganda are getting good, so we'll see what happens there. Yeah. Yeah, the Congo, it's hard to get a read on the Congo, COVID in Congo. A lot of people die and they don't wonder too much about why. So if COVID hits the eastern Congo hard, I'm not sure how they're going to know. But Sarah's right, Ebola, MAF has been very active in delivering Ebola vaccines and the health workers. And so MAF Congo already had all of our emergency procedures in place and methods of operation from Ebola. I mean, Ebola is much more contagious than COVID and a probably a nastier disease all around. So they already, and they would fly the, they would fly bodies, they would fly health workers. They've got all the operating procedures down for dealing with Ebola. So COVID was almost like a walk in the park for them. They were already set up for it. I don't want to minimize it, you know, but it was, they were set up in a lot of ways that other countries were not. Yeah. Did that answer the question? Was I, yeah, I think it did. Yeah. Oh, I'm being kicked off.
I'm sure Brian was awful disappointed there that they refinished those or refurbished those engines rather than shipping them off for scrap. He was just looking for them. I ask Yen to lead us in a final hymn.